Welcome into week number 5 of Who's Gonna Win here on KJAN. We've got the usual crew, Jim Field, Doug Leonard, Matt Mullenix, and myself, Chris Parks. And we want to thank Ag Business Associates and Nishna Valley Credit Union for bringing you the show each week as we take a look at 8 area high school football games. Let's take a look back at how we did in week number 4 to start off the show here. And we had Xyra EHK defeating Glidden Ralston 51-20 in a nice 8-man battle. We all had the Spartans in that one, so we all got it correct. It was Underwood, a 32-14 victory over St. Albert. That was a winner for three of us, as I went out on a limb on that one and came crashing down there. Bad fourth quarter for the Falcons. Also, it was Southwest Valley, a 20-16 victory over Clarinda, and Southwest Valley a winner just for Doug, as Doug was the one who went out on a limb and got that one to go, as they got a late score to win that one. Also, it was Westwood 43-33 over Missouri Valley, and that was a winner for both myself and for Matt. And Doug and Jim had Mo Valley there. IKM Manning also got beat on a final drive. ESAC County scores late to win it 16-14. That was winner just for Jim. He went on a limb there and got that one.
It's my season highlight.
Riverside picked up a 21-9 win over Shenandoah. First win in the Coach Frayne area. And that was a winner for both Doug and myself. And Matt and Jim had Shenandoah there. And then it was Trainer picking up 21-0 shutout win over Red Oak. That was a winner just for Doug. He went out another limb and got that one. And it was Harlan, 56-14 over Atlantic. We all had the Cyclones, so we all had that one correct. So Doug, the big winner this week. He went 6-2. Rest of us 4-4, so that changes up the standings a little bit now here, as we'll have both Matt and myself at 22-10. Doug at 21-11, and Jim at 20-12. So we're all in a very tight pack here as we head into our Week 5 picks. And we will go ahead and take a quick timeout. We'll come back and take a look at our first two games here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Have you found that dream home you've been looking for your whole life, and then when you went to get a loan, you were told you didn't have enough money saved for the down payment, and you thought your dream was over? This happened to me, until it was suggested to me to go visit the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. The staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union were all extremely nice and helpful. They connected me with a lending institute they work closely with. The credit union stayed in contact with me throughout the process, and they were the ones that helped make my dream home come true. So the next time you're in the market for a car loan, home loan, or any kind of a loan, stop in and meet the friendly, helpful staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win. Let's get started with some 8-man football here on the show this week. We've got a couple of nice, interesting district contest. 8-man District 7 is our first one, as Stanton goes on the road to take on East Mills. Doug, our top picker, gets to start it off here this week.
Well, all right. That's, you know, a challenging game to choose for me this week. You know, you kind of look at the records, both teams, you know, East Mills 4-0, Stanton is 3-1. So, you know, nice records for both of them. When you dig a little deeper, neither one of the opponents or the schedules they played have been very good. Stanton's opponents only have 5 wins between the 4 of them, and East Mills have 4 wins between the 4 teams. So, you know, they're not beating really tough teams yet. You know, you do a little of score comparison, though. They both played Bedford. Stanton struggled, only beat Bedford by 4 points. East Mills 36-6. So I like what East Mills has done. They've got a quarterback who's really thrown the ball around pretty well. 17 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I'm going to take the home team.
All right. So one for the Wolverines. Matt.
All right. I'm going to take the Wolverines as well. Last week I did a lot of research, put a lot of effort and time into it, and went 4-4, you know, kind of lost some pace there. I'd been doing really well in the previous 3 weeks. And so I went back to the old way and just kind of going to wing it and go off of my, not, you know, just my own personal knowledge, and there's a lot in there. And so just going to go.
Well, not
to
about
that.
Not about football, but okay. But yeah.
You gotta trust that gut, right?
You bet. There all we right. go. So East Mills it is this week.
Okay. So it's two for the Wolverines. I'm going to make it three. I like East Mills at home there. And Malvern has, got a pretty good quarterback in Michael Schaefer. I got to see him a couple weeks ago again in that game against Griswold. They can sling the ball around a little bit. They've got three very capable receivers in Nick Dyson, Anthony Rainey, Riley Story. I like the talent they have out there. Stanton's got a decent quarterback of their own in Keegan Day, but he's been struggled a little bit more to put points up onto the board. And Drake Johnson, a good running back for them as well. But I like the Wolverines, and especially that passing game, so I'm going to go with them here at home. Jim?
Well, I decided to go with my gut as well. My gut's telling me I'm hungry. I don't even know what that means.
We just finished lunch.
But that's true. Both of these teams have played Bedford so far. I guess I just found East Mills win over Bedford to be more impressive. And I think this one boils down to, which quarterback plays better for these two ball clubs. And it's almost like a coin flip there. So I just, East Mills, they're home. Give them that extra little incentive for being home. So I'll make that unanimous.
All right. Across the board there with East Mills. We've got another eight-man football game here for you. This is District 8, and this will be our broadcast game here tonight as the Cam Cougars will play host to the Exira EHK Spartans. Another important game here in this district. And Exira EHK, boy, they've been playing all the tough teams to start off district play here this year. And here's another good test for them. And, Matt, what do you think is going to happen here?
Well, yeah, everybody's kind of getting district games going here. And so, from here on out to the end of the season, everything will take a little more meaning to, I guess, the game and winning those district titles and so on and so forth towards the playoffs at the end of the season. So, and like I said, right out of the gate, the Exira HK continuing their tough stretch of ball games. This one is not only a tough ball game just with the team they're playing, but it's a big rivalry game. These two teams and communities, nearby and have a dislike for one another. So I know Cam's been playing pretty well. They had some pieces to replace, but I think the way Exira EHK is playing right now, you just can't deny that. Even though it's on the road, I'm going to go with the Spartans.
All right, so that's one there for Exira EHK. Yeah, the Spartans 4-0, they've had some real tough opponents here so far. They're able to knock off Fremont Mills, Audubon, and Glidden-Ralston last week. And the only thing I think that makes me a little bit more concerned about this one is that they do finally get a tough test on the road. This is their first real tough road game, I think, here this season. But Josh Pettipier's been playing good at quarterback. Cole Burmeister's kind of one of those do-it-all guys that's really been racking up some yardage for the Spartans. Cam's got some nice pieces. The nice thing about them is they can move the ball around. They've got different guys that they can give it to with Burnison, Bauer, Williamson, and you got Preston Murphy out there. So a lot of different weapons for the Cougars. And they'll be amped up for this one at home, but I'm going to give an edge here to the Spartans. I think they've got a little bit more across the board, and the way that they're playing recently gives them a lot of confidence. So I'll take Exira EHK here on the road. Jim.
All right, very good. Yeah, just looking, both these teams have played pretty good schedules so far. I don't think Exira EHKs might be just a smidge tougher so far, but Cam's gone on the road and pounded Bedford. They beat Stanton. They played a tough game against Glidden-Ralston on the road, just to come up a little bit short. As you alluded to, they had three tough runners. They played some tough football. Pettipier's been awful good, their quarterback, but I have a feeling that this week there's going to be a turnover or two. Going to be forced by those tough kids over there at Cam. I'm going to go with the Cougars in what might be just a mild upset, but I just have a feeling that this is going to be their turn.
All right. It's one for Cam. Doug?
Well, I'm going to leave Jim out on a limb there. It's a good limb pick, too, with Cam at home. You guys mentioned basically everything that's important. A lot of weapons on the Cam sideline, but I've just been impressed with how the Spartans have handled their schedule so far this year. And Jim mentioned the Glidden-Ralston game. The Spartans took care of business pretty well. Now, it was at home, but, beat Glidden-Ralston 51-20. Cam, that's the one game they've lost, 40-24. So I'm going to take the Spartans on the road.
All right. Should be a fun one. Once again, we will have that coming up for you here tonight. Mike Smith will be joining me a little bit later on here for the call there from Anita. We'll go ahead and take a break and come back and talk 11-man football here when we come back.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, for Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Have you found that dream home you've been looking for your whole life, and then when you went to get a loan, you were told you didn't have enough money saved for the down payment, and you thought your dream was over? This happened to me, until it was suggested to me to go visit the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. The staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union were all extremely nice and helpful. They connected me with a lending institute they work closely with. The credit union stayed in contact with me throughout the process, and they were the ones that helped make my dream home come true. So the next time you're in the market for a car loan, home loan, or any kind of a loan, stop in and meet the friendly, helpful staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win. Let's get into some 11-man football picks here for you. We'll start off in Class A, and the first one is in District 9 as Riverside goes on the road to take on HSTW, a couple of local teams getting to match up. Bulldogs did get that first win of the Darryl Frayne era last week over Shenandoah, so I'm sure that gives them a little bit of a boost. Unfortunately, they turn around and go and play a really good team on the road here this week. HSTW has really been rolling. They've got a lot of nice pieces. Gabe Pauly, Drake Partridge. Of course, they shut out Shenandoah earlier this season. So I think the Vikings definitely have the upper hand here, and I'm going to go ahead and take the home team. Jim.
Okay. HSTW. I just don't see any way that Riverside wins this game outside of the bus can't get lost. Because they're at home, so it's just not going to happen. Gabe Pauly's just been awful tough for HSTW, and I was trying to think how hard I'd have to look to find another team who's thrown double-digit touchdown passes with zero interceptions. HSTW, none of their guys who played quarterback have thrown an interception yet. That's pretty amazing for a team that's already thrown 13 touchdown passes. So obviously they're pretty protective of the football, and we know how they play defense. So, yeah, Vikings win this one.
All right, Doug.
I got to say Vikes on this one, too. The Bulldogs' offense runs through their quarterback, passing the ball, obviously, and also the leading rusher for them this year. So I think HSTW has enough defensive weapons to slow down one person and handy win at home.
All right, Matt.
Yeah, congratulations to Riverside last week on their first victory and of the season. And, these are two Western Iowa Conference rivals here, Riverside and HSTW, and I think they've kind of been, over the last quite a few years, in separate classes. Mm. And I think, isn't this the Chucky doll? This is the Chucky rivalry game.
We'd have to ask Novotny.
Mr. Novotny, but this goes back old school. You know, I've always been waiting for this, and I think this year we got the revival of the Chucky doll.
We'll have to look into
rivalry game, and so in that case, I'm going to go with the home team on this one, the Vikings.
All right, so Chucky's going to be in Avoca. Okay.
Chucky's right. Going to stay at home.
That might sell one more ticket.
All right,
so it'd be Chucky's ticket.
Yeah, there it's true. You go. Got Vikes across the board in that one. We're going to stay in Class A here as we've got a District 10 matchup. This is Logan Magnolia going on the road to take on Westwood. Jim, what do you think here?
I don't think this is much of a game. Hello, Westwood. Congratulations on your victory. They have a pretty strong ground game. I think they'll just ground and pound.
All right, Westwood there for the win. Doug?
One word. Braulio.
Braulio.
Knew that.
Well, I'm going to have a few more words
just for you.
Yeah. Braulio, 500 yards rushing and 10 TDs. So, you know, Loma has played a tough schedule, I think, this year so far, but I think the home team is going to win.
All right. So that's another one for Westwood. Matt?
I'm going to go with Westwood as well. They've had, like, the number 10 ranked strength of schedule so far this year in Class A. So they have played some tough teams along the way and able to pick up three victories along the way. And I still go back to that victory over Akron Westfield, 7-6 early in the season. That's going to be a nice feather in their cap because I think you look at the BC Moore rankings and Akron Westfield's still about four or five notches above them even, so just because of the way they've continued to play. So, but I'm going to take Westwood Sloan, the Rebels, at home.
All right. I'm going to make it a clean sweep. I'm going to go with Westwood here as well. Rivers or Logan Magnolia. They've got a couple of guys that they've liked to hand the ball off to. And they've got a guy on defense, Matt Soapmilk, I've noticed. 36 tackles, one interception, so he's been doing a lot of work. But, yeah, the ground game really good for Westwood. When you have two backs that are, you know, one's at 500, the other one's close to 400, and you're doing a pretty good job there on the ground. So go with Westwood. All right, another one we've got here is in Class 1A. We'll go to a couple of Class 1A games here. This is District 8 as Clarinda goes on the road to Panorama. Doug, you get first crack at this one.
Panorama, the Panthers?
Correct.
Yeah. They're 3-1. Looks like they've got a good quarterback, Luke South, throwing the ball pretty well through the air and then rushing the ball as well. He's got about 500 yards rushing and passing each one there. So, they've had a pretty successful season so far. Clarinda, this 1A schedule now that they have in the 1A district that they're in is got to be interesting for them. I mean, they're used to playing bigger teams, you know, Atlantic and some other bigger squads. I was impressed actually by the Cardinals' loss last week. They lost to Southwest Valley, but it was close, 2016. Southwest Valley's undefeated this year, and this is upset special. I'm going to take the Clarinda Cardinals.
Hmm. All right, going with Clarinda. Matt.
Well, this is definitely going to be a close ball game. I think right on paper there, you look at it and see records, and you think, well, right away, Panorama, but their three wins have all come against schools that are A, you know, Class A schools have been their three wins, and they've all been fairly close. So, I think their 3-1 record is a little deceiving. They're a very small favorite in here, and like Doug said, Clarinda has played up in some of their non-district games here. I just think that the last 2 weeks, you know, overtime loss to Atlantic, Southwest Valley come from behind, scoring late in the game like that. Sometimes those games can just be, you know, demoralizing. You have two of those in a row, and then you've got to go this week on the road up to Panora to play the Panthers. I think that's just going to be tough to recover. So I'm going to go with Panorama.
All right. So that's one there for Panorama. Yeah, this is an interesting game. You mentioned the one loss there for Panorama to I-35, a team that's had a pretty good run here so far this season, but some of the other teams that they beat, maybe not, you know, quite as impressive. This is tough for Clarinda to bounce back. Like you said, I think that, you know, they've struggled with those close games the last couple of weeks, but I got to imagine if they just keep grinding it out, they can get over the hump. Like William Scholl, what he can do out of the backfield, I'm going to give Clarinda a slight edge here as well. I'm going to go with the Cardinals. Jim.
Really? With the Cardinals? Okay. Well, I'm with Matt on this one. I'm going to split this up 50-50. Panorama just has a solid run game. And as we know, Clarinda doesn't throw the ball around the yard very much. They depend on Scholl. Panorama's got some enormous kids in their offensive and defensive lines. And I think they have enough size to be able to just stuff things up inside and not let Scholl get loose. So I'm going with Panorama at home.
All right, so we split that one up two ways. We've got one more Class 1A game here to get in before we get to our Class 2A picks here to round out the sheet today. This one may be another interesting one, Class 1A District 9, as East Sac County goes on the road to take on Trainer. East Sac County fresh off that last drive victory over IKM Manning. Matt, what do you think?
Okay. I like the way East Sac County is a just a power game team. They're going to line up in unbalanced right, unbalanced left side, extra tight end, double tight ends, wing backs in there, and they just like to come at you. And so with that being said, I like the way Trainer has actually shut down running teams. They've shut down Shenandoah earlier season, Red Oak last week. and you know, pitched a shutout to Red Oak, and Red Oak's going to want to loves to run the ball as well. So I think the defense of Trainer is what's going to carry them through this game. So I'm going to go with the Cardinals at home.
All right. So he's going to go one there for Trainer. Yeah, this is a tough one, I think. This will be a good game. I was impressed there by ESAC County's win last week. Sounded like there might have been a little bit of assistance there with some penalties that last drive that got them in the end zone to knock off the Wolves. But they do have a pretty good running back in Garrett Bruce. It's racked up 745 yards already this year. Had over 200 in that game last week in the win there against IKM Manning. Then you look at Trainer, you know, they've got some good talent that's spread out. Jake Fisher at the quarterback spot, Kyle Christensen, who has played there before. He's a good young player for them as well, running the ball. The thing, though, I was looking through with the ESAC County that I was a little bit impressed with was the number of guys that they seem to have up in that double-digit tackle assist range. A lot of guys that fly to the ball. They really like to play good team defense, and you know that's the type of game that they played against IKM Manning last week. I think that's a big win for them last week, gives them some confidence. I think they go on the road and get another one, so I'm going to go with ESAC County. Jim?
Yeah, I like the ground game of ESAC County as well. What I don't like is Trainer's schedule. Logan Magnolia, St. Albert, who they lost to, Shenandoah, I mean, the only team they've played that's been really any decent at all is Red Oak, and they're 2-2. So I'm not impressed with that schedule at all. I think ESAC County's they had a tough couple of weeks to get started with the season. Obviously, they learned from that, and they played pretty well, and they showed that they can win in a tough one last week. So I don't think the road's going to bother them. I'm going with ESAC County.
All right. Doug?
Yeah, those first 2 weeks for them were Odable, Arthur, Battle Creek, Ida Grove, and South Central Calhoun, which are two pretty good teams. And they lost both. But, you know, as you said, you kind of figure out where you're at there. I just like the running back that they have in Bruce. I'm going to put Maddie out on a limb.
All right.
Okay. I like
Trainer
that.
On a limb at home.
There you go.
All right. We got a couple more games left here on our sheet. We'll move to Class 2A after we take a break.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Have you found that dream home you've been looking for your whole life? And then when you went to get a loan, you were told you didn't have enough money saved for the down payment, and you thought your dream was over? This happened to me, until it was suggested to me to go visit the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. The staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union were all extremely nice and helpful. They connected me with a lending institute they work closely with. The credit union stayed in contact with me throughout the process, and they were the ones that helped make my dream home come true. So the next time you're in the market for a car loan, home loan, or any kind of a loan, stop in and meet the friendly, helpful staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.
Welcome back here to Who's Gonna Win. Let's move into Class 2A, and we're going to do a couple of Class 2A District 9 games here for you. As we'll, in this first one, talk about the team that Atlantic will get to see next week as OABCIG goes on the road to take on Red Oak. And I guess I get first look here at this one. This is, an OABCIG team that's 4-0. Red Oak at 2-2, as Jim had just mentioned there before the break. Caden Lodwig sounds like he's kind of the guy that does a lot of the work for OABCIG. He's got 971 yards through the air, 12 touchdowns compared to just two interceptions. He's also ran for six scores. And they've got a pretty good defensive player as well. And William, I'm not sure if it's Grote or Grody, but 40 and a half tackles that he's been able to rack up so far this year and a fumble recovery on top of that. Red Oak's got, you know, the two Carters, Carter Bruce and Carter Maines. They're going to be their workhorses. I just don't think they have enough offense to keep up with some of these teams, and that's been their bugaboo so far this year. So I'm going to go with OABCIG here on the road. Jim.
Okay. You know, and that's why I wrote down about OABCIG. They like to sling it. They've got four good receivers that they throw to. But at this point in the year, when you take a look at the raw numbers and how teams have performed offensively – you know, I think you just have to balance that out with their opponent. I mean, their opponents have a combined record of 4-12. So, yeah, you're running up computer game numbers, but is it because you're really good or the other team's just, you know, a little step slow? I think Red Oak has played a little tougher schedule. I'm partial to the ground game. I think they have some solid runners. Maines, McCunn, Bentley runs the ball pretty well for them. Their opponent's schedule 10-6 on the year, so they played probably a little tougher schedule. I'm going with the Oak at home.
All right, taking the Tigers at home. Doug?
Well, we're going to mix it up for sure this week, I think. I'm going to go big with Obig. I just like their quarterback that they have. I do think it's, again, Red Oak playing – they're used to playing some bigger schools and then playing against Oudoubold Arthur. I think they'll, you know, go into the game with confidence, but I think I'm going to take the visiting team.
All right. It's two for the road squad. Matt?
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm kind of with Jim there on the same thing as far as Oudoubold Arthur, Battle Creek, Ida Grove. Right now they've not only played a little weaker schedule, but even some of the teams they've played down. You know, as far as class-wise as well in there. So, I think that's kind of concerning. But, Caden Ladwig?
Yeah,
Caden Ladwig, you know, he does quite a bit for him. He's got a real strong arm, pretty sharp and pretty accurate. The receivers run their routes pretty crisp from what I've seen so far. So I think Red Oak's going to have some trouble with him. I don't think they've got the guys that can sit out, enough of them that can sit out there and slow the passing game down of Oudoubold Arthur once they start spreading them out. So I'm going to go with Oudoubold Arthur to keep their perfect record alive and at least for one more week, in my opinion.
And there you go. All right. So Red Oak at home, Olympic there for Jim. All right, so we've got our other Class 2A District 9 game, and of course that would be the Atlantic Trojans, as they get to come back home here to the Trojan Bowl and host the Kemper Catholic Knights. Jim, who's going to win?
If I knew, I wouldn't be sitting in last place now, would I? this is where I'm just going back to... I've seen a couple of the Atlantic games here this year, and just when it's hard with the eye test, because I thought Clarinda was going to be a better ball club. Atlantic's opponents are 5-11 so far this year. And of those five wins, Harlan's three of them. Saydell, Creston, Clarinda, yeah, yuck. Kemper Catholics actually played a decent schedule. This one bugs me a lot. But we're playing a game here, and I'm falling behind. You guys are all going to take Atlantic, so I'm going to take Kemper Catholic here and see if I can pick up a game.
All right. It's one for
the
Knights.
Come on, Mullinex kids. You're going to go home and use this as motivation. Oh, you're going to go right home with Chase, Colin. Guess what Jim picked?
Doug, what do you think?
Well, I agree. Kemper's schedule's been pretty salty. Lost to South Central Calhoun, Glenwood, and Denison. So I don't know that any of those teams are going to be in the top 10 in the state, but, you know, pretty decent squads versus the schedule Atlantic's played so far. I think if Atlantic, though, athletically can hang with them, which I think they can, they basically need to shut down the running back. Kemper hasn't had too much success throwing the ball, 35% completions and 4 interceptions. So, you know, if they can force the Knights to pound the ball on the ground, hopefully that's something that we can do. I think Atlantic, came out and looked fairly good against Harlan there to start out with. You know, it was a warm night, and I just think physically got worn down. You know, Atlantic's got a lot of kids playing both ways. When you're playing defense and running up and down the field, especially the way Harlan was throwing the ball, the guys playing in our backfield defensively put a lot of miles on the tires that game. And with the heat and again, playing both ways, I just think we kind of wore down against the Cyclones. I think Atlantic's going to bounce back. They won their first game, lost their second, won their third, lost their fourth. So this is, based on that, we think we're going to win. So I'm taking Atlantic.
All right. It's one each way. Matt?
Okay. All right, I'm going to take the Trojans at home as well. I think this is going to be a bounce-back game for them. The Achilles so far for Atlantic has been the passing game for – or pass defense, I guess I should say. You look at the losses Creston and Harlan, both in there. Both teams were able to throw the ball. But against the teams that like to run the ball, we've been able to shut it down. So, you know, it's kind of like you said, you know, they kind of want to run the ball, and we've got to be able to shut down the game, passing game, which I think they're going to work on this week and tighten that up. Offensively, I think you're going to see a few things differently from the Trojans on the offensive side just a little bit, especially in the passing game, getting things a little quicker, getting the routes a little sharper in what they'd like to do, because I think that's really a key for them, is if they can get those little short passes out there and let those guys do what they can, and then every now and then get some of those double move routes and open it up downfield there. So I think you'll see some different things out of them. So I think the Trojans pull out the win.
All right. Yeah, this, you know, it's a tough game, I think, for both teams. You know, you look at Kemper's schedule, and we were just talking about, you know, maybe how we're not as impressed with, you know, a few of the teams around the area. St. Albert, their lone win would be one of them. So, you know, they've only got that one win against a team that has struggled here so far. But I was surprised that against Denison. I certainly thought that's a game that Kemper probably would have won, just based on how things had played out so far this year. Obviously, a, you know, bigger school, bigger program, but they were in a real tight game with Glenwood. I think they are more battle tested here to this point. You know, they played some of those tough, tight, close games, but it's exactly what you guys said in the matchup. I think it's a good matchup for Atlantic. You know, a team that isn't going to really sling the ball around. And obviously, once Harlan decided they were going to do that last week, that's what caught up to the Trojans. They were playing a really good game up until that point. So I think, Atlantic, if they can figure out a way to get the ball to some of those guys in space a little bit more often, you know, Tyler Moen, Zade Nicholson, give them more opportunities to try to get down the field, I think that they'll be able to have some success. So I'm going to take the Trojans here at home. I think they can get this win. Doug?
I just want to point out, I think this is the first time on Who's Going to Win since I've been doing it that we've never had a 3A game on the list here. So 2A and below.
I did think about that. And I had one on there, and then I changed it and took it
off.
It's
all right. So. You know, everything changes.
Yep. Times change. Got to go with the flow, right? All right, so that's our picks here for week number 5. We want to thank Ag Business Associates, Nishna Valley Credit Union for sponsoring the program. We'll have 8-man football coming up here for you, Exira EHK at CAM. Mike Smith will be joining me for the broadcast, 6:30, our pregame on the way, and then kickoff at 7 o'clock in Anita. Thanks for joining us for Who's Going to Win.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Have you found that dream home you've been looking for your whole life? And then when you went to get a loan, you were told you didn't have enough money saved for the down payment, and you thought your dream was over? This happened to me, until it was suggested to me to go visit the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. The staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union were all extremely nice and helpful. They connected me with a lending institute they work closely with. The credit union stayed in contact with me throughout the process, and they were the ones that helped make my dream home come true. So the next time you're in the market for a car loan, home loan, or any kind of a loan, stop in and meet the friendly, helpful staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.